Yeah, I read the study over. Pardon me, I read the study over that Roger did, and it's great. Here we go. Colossians 3, 1 through 25. Roger had Colossians 3. Okay, let's set the stage for Colossians 3. There are 25 verses in chapter 3. In Colossians 2, Paul spoke about how the church, which is his body believers, are not to live. In Colossians 3, we're going to learn about Paul's bucket list, and that's Roger's madness, that's a little bit, about Paul's bucket list of to-dos, okay? Pete told us about danger and what to watch out for, and according to Roger, Colossians 3 is about what we should do and how the Church of Jesus Christ body believers are to live. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, far above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. So if the Colossian assembly or church, that's what a church isn't a building, it's an assembly of believers, were true believers and, pardon me, they died with Christ and they had been raised with Christ, God perfectly knows the individuals who belong to Him, the true members of the body of Christ. Our bucket list assignment of things to do, knowing we have been raised with Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. Point one, on the bucket list, seek those things which are from above. This is interesting. It is. Seek those things which are from above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Why is that? Believers are more likely to seek those things which are on the earth instead of seeking those things which are from above. I like it, don't you? Basic stuff, but hey, we all are guilty. Every one of us. Paul is not giving the members of the Church of Christ body believers an opinion. This isn't his opinion. Here are your choices. Either you focus on things above, where Christ is, or you focus on things on the earth, where the evil one is. It's kind of interesting. I like that. The bottom line, you can't serve both at the same time. That's interesting. Interesting statement. You can't serve both at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time, because then you'll be unstable for sure. It comes down to either obedience or disobedience. Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. Your affection. Next on your bucket list, set your affection, Strong's number 5426, or set your thinking on things above. And I will say this, that Roger here is putting down Strong's numbers. And they are good. They are good. And also, you can go on from there in the Greek. I'll just add that. Why is that? We're constantly renewing our affection for things on the earth. We are constantly renewing our affection for things on the earth instead of the eternal things which are in Christ. Why is that, if that's in fact what we're doing? Pardon me. Question, do you believe that you are now sitting at the right hand, or sitting with Christ at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies? If yes, then why aren't you seeking those things which are from above. To think on things above is, to set your affection on things above is, to think on Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. To think on the truth that's been revealed to you in power, which reveals Christ as the head of the church. Well, we've had some good messages on the head of the church, haven't we? Right? Christ as head, very important, very unique. First point, Christ who is our Savior. Christ as the one who restored us to a right relationship with God. And that has to do with something. Sorry, Roger, I'm going to take a minute and a half of your time here. See, what's he going to do? He can't answer, right now. He might be listening to me. But that has to do with what's called reconciliation. Reconciliation, to reconcile. God was in Christ reconciling the things in the heavens and the things on earth to himself, right? And that's what we're being taught, our redemption, our reconciliation. And what does that mean? That means that at a point in time, we as human beings were in unfavor with God. We were in enmity with him. We were in an unfriendly position with the Almighty God. And through the blood of Christ, he's reconciled us with himself. And so we have peace with God. We have peace with God through the blood of Christ. And we are no longer in enmity with him anymore. And that might sound easy coming off the lips, but go home and think about it. Because without that removal, and without that story, without that reconciliation, your life is ending up in a what they call a dirt bed, death. Who is the head of the body? The daily relationship that you and I have with Jesus Christ. Third point, to think about is our future relationship with Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, actually. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Absolutely fabulous. Want to talk about security? Want to talk about eternal security? You're hidden with the Creator, with Christ, in God. So I think that would be a good thing to think about, wouldn't it be? If you're ever down, think about who you really are. I think there's a song out by this girl, I'm sorry, there's this one girl that sings this song, You Are, is that what? You Say. And it's by this girl named Lauren Daigle, if you've heard of it. I'm sorry. And she, in this song, I'm sorry, Roger, and I'm sorry, folks, but this is it, okay, this is me. And she says in there, you say that I am strong when I feel so weak. You say that I am yours when I am all alone. Okay, and she goes on, talking about the Lord with what he says and what she feels. And I think the point of this is that, and then she says, I believe. And she doesn't believe in how she feels. She believes in what he says. What does he say in Colossians 3? For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. I have this on my wall in my office, and this one guy came by and he said, ye are dead, ye are dead. How can you be alive and dead at the same time? Something to think about. But that is reckoned by faith, by the way, that we are dead and we are still alive in the flesh at the same time. The Colossians and the church, which is his body, believers, are to recognize that their life is now hidden with Christ and God. And I may add to that, our true life. Our true life. Our true life has begun upon believing. I'm going to add this, Roger, sorry. Our true life has begun upon believing, and God, the Holy Spirit. Ever think about Him? God, the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk, without being irreverent, we talk about the Father, we talk about the Son. But what about God, the Holy Spirit? Do we talk about Him a lot? Maybe not as much. And is He God? God, the Holy Spirit is God. God, the Holy Spirit is a sealing. He sealed you upon believing in the mystery. And what I understand that scriptures speak about is that when you were shown the mystery and you believed that very instant, God, the Holy Spirit put a seal on you. That you are the Father's own in the mystery. Something else to think about. We are now living together with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested or appear, notice what happens next, or at the same time, then you shall also appear or be manifested with Him in glory. That's our hope. That's our destiny. In the super heavenlies, at the right hand of the Father. And this could occur at any time. Probably won't, but that's still, it could happen any time. Our appearing or our manifestation with Christ in glory is 100% dependent on the time and when Christ is manifested or appears. The same God who times and affects Christ's appearing, I would imagine he's talking about the Father. And as an interesting side note, I will say that isn't it true that the Lord said that the Father knows the minute and the hour that He's going to return, something to that effect, the day and the hour. And so because the disciples, didn't they ask the Lord the time of His second coming? And didn't, I'm asking a question here. Didn't He say it's in the Father's hand? Is that true? Thanks, Ron. Everybody else is just kind of looking at me as well. So, I think that Roger is saying the same principle when the manifestation of Christ appears that possibly could be in the Father's hands. And when He appears in glory, we will appear in glory as His fullness, the church. Some people say when the last member is added, we will be manifested. That's not really that's really not a statement that isn't that over, that isn't that much over the top. It's a possibility that that might be true. Colossians 3:5, mortify or put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, so there has to be a reason for this. And this is the part of the to-do. And, you know, what's interesting is our battle in the flesh. What's interesting to me, to Mikey, is my battle in the flesh. I'll have to say, I pray goofy things like, make me perfect, Lord. What, in the flesh, Mike? Forget it. And then, you know, then I go kind of wimping off and, you know, feeling sorry for myself because I don't want to deal with this raggedy Ann flesh anymore, this sinful flesh. I'm sick of it. You know, but nevertheless, I'm still here in the flesh. He knows that, and I'm still walking in that, but He wants us to seek Him. Therefore, and why would this be? I'm going to add, mortify therefore, or put to death your members which are upon the earth. And notice this. This is interesting. The first one is sex out of the realm of marriage. I find it interesting. Why is that first? And, you know, today that's normal. Quote. Interesting, isn't it? That's normal today. Normal. People living together, having children together, out of wedlock. That's fornication. That's normal. Having children, then going on to another person, having another child. That's normal. And who was talking about? A couple of guys were talking about when you have order, it's being blown apart. No doubt the family is being blown apart. The order. And so, it's interesting that Paul would list that first, and that that is just no big deal at all. What are you getting all bent out of shape on that about? You know? And then we can ask ourselves the question, why do we do this? Why do we put these things to death? Something to think about, right? Uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Mortify, Strong's number 3499, literally means to put to death, to kill, and to destroy. Mortify, therefore, your members. Members, Strong's number 3196, being a limb or a part of the body. Might even actually have to do with your heart and your compassions and your emotions and your thoughts and your old man. Paul reminds us, it is our responsibility as believers in the Church of Jesus Christ body to constantly be putting to death that which is earthly in us. The old nature that would lead us back into sin again. As the dog returns unto its own vomit. This is in all of us. Unfortunately, I would add. But it's meant to be. Colossians 3:6, for which things sake the wrath of God is coming on the, probably this, pardon me, the sons of disobedience. Because, or on account of the five things mentioned in Colossians 3:5, Paul reminds us that the wrath of God is coming. Now that's an interesting one. He came as a lamb, meek, a lamb for the slaughter, and he's coming back as the judge. And I've said this before, this earth is going to see things they are not ready for. And they're going to see a coming one, the man of sin, that they are not ready for. Hitler is going to be like an infant, I think, compared to this guy coming. Okay, and Hitler was on his way for world control, okay? And he had no problem eliminating ethnic groups that he didn't think were worthy of life. And I think that, and he didn't have world economic power, but the one coming will. Are we ready for that? And then after that, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming in wrath and judgment. I mean, he's going to set up his kingdom, the millennial kingdom, for sure. But there's going to be no more man's will. It's going to be an iron rod of Christ, dynamite. I've said this, we talk about presidents, what this president can do, what he's not doing, what he can do, what he can't do. No one man can rule this country. There's no way. There's no way. And so it's like, it's impossible. It's impossible for a guy to rule mankind in his own country that are with the old nature. It's almost like a foregone conclusion that he's going to fail in certain ways. And so the only one that's going to rule properly is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. to have a mindset of outrage, punishment, or anger. Colossians 3:7, in which you yourselves once walked some time when you lived in them. Paul is writing here about a time prior to the Colossians coming to know Christ, a time when the Colossians were regularly practicing these sins in the flesh. Pardon me. Colossians 3:8, but now a change is coming. You also put off these things. And I'm not saying that I do this perfectly, because I have problems with some of these things. Automatic, too. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'll just say to you, there are days where I get up and I say to myself, lately, I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be angry. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, I'm not going to get upset, and I'm not going to be angry. And hey, you know, that works for a little while. Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, something happens, somebody calls, some patient comes in, something is said about me, like, and whammo, I'm angry. It's incredible. It is, isn't it? And I'm like, and that isn't good for me. Put off these things, anger. No, I'm serious. Anger, wrath, malice. Are you married? Okay, that's all I have to say. Right? Are you married? Anger. Being upset. How about that one? Anger, wrath, malice. Lastly, malice is like an evil thought against another. I'm going to get him back and knife him in the back. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. It's just not proper for an adopted son of God, which includes women. And boy, I've seen some women that I don't think I'd want to fight. Riding on motorcycles with black jackets. Paul is emphasizing a need for us to put off Strong's number 659 means to lay aside all sinful characteristics, and this is tough to do. But I'm going to add this, you need the Holy Spirit to do it. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't. I'll go that far. You can say you're wrong, that's good, but I don't think I am. Five more points to add to your bucket list, often expressed through the language that comes out of our mouths. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you having put off the old man with his deeds. That's interesting. Do not lie to anybody. To lie, Strong's number 5574, literally means to give a false information or a misleading information. Now, what's interesting about a lie, and it's true, is that when you lie, you might get away with it. But then you got to cover it up, maybe. And you got to be, sometimes something will come around, and you better be pretty smart because you could get caught in that lie. And you better be smart enough to know, oh, I got to lie again. Have you ever been there? What are you looking at me for? Have you ever been there? You lie once and then, oh man, I can't get around this person because I lied to them, and if they say this, I gotta lie again to get out of that lie. And then plus two, we're members of the fullness of the Son of God. And so to lie each other would be, to each other especially, in my mind, would be ridiculous. Extremely counterproductive. If you and I, concerning our calling and the Word of God and our lives and our care for each other, would lie to each other, that would be extremely counterproductive for the unity in the Spirit. All that. Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Incredible. We have a new man that's been created. A new man that's created in holiness? Really? That's wonderful. Believers have two natures. Some people don't believe us. Some people, I've met people at conferences that have told me, one or two people in the past that says, oh, I don't believe in that two nature stuff. That's what they said. And I thought to myself, okay, if you don't want to call it two natures, why don't you call it an old man and a new man? What are you going to do with that? Right? What are you going to do with an old man and a new man? An old man that is just sinful and a new man that's created in holiness. What are you going to do with that? You know, I didn't say that to them, but I don't know where they are now. I think they went into the religious realm, by the way. I think this particular individual became married a Lutheran. The old nature, which is equal to the old man, the new nature, which is equal to the new man. It's a fact. Old man, new man. I've walked in the old man, I've walked in the new man. I know the difference. Does that make sense? Thanks. Paul's instructions to put off the old man wouldn't be of importance if believers had only one nature. Why would you have to put off the old man if you didn't have a new man? God was in the one who created the new man. That in itself is something to think about as being incredible. That he created this new man in holiness, I believe it reads. The new man was designed according to God's blueprint, being renewed. Strong's number 341 means to restore, to make new again, to reinstate to a new condition or a new position. Being renewed is a continuous process that begins when believers are saved and continues throughout their lifetimes. It's called being perfected, being made into that masterpiece. And, you know, as Pete was talking, an interesting thought came over my mind. If we're complete in Christ, now this is just a thought. If we're complete in Christ, are we that masterpiece already? We might not be, but I'm just saying, we're being perfected. So, what am I saying? I'm not giving you any answers, for sure. I'm just making you think. What is this perfection Paul is talking about, being perfected? Does that mean to come to the knowledge of the mystery, which we already have? Or does it mean that after you come to the knowledge of the mystery, you're perfected even from there? I'll throw that up. Is it legal for me to do that? 7. Is it legal for me to say that? He said yes. He just doesn't know it. The new man needs to be constantly renewed. I knew he was okay. In order to be brought into alignment with the image of God. Who is the image of God? Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. The Greek or Gentiles were made equal with the Jews, and that place is in the body of Christ, where everybody is equal. No preference is given to anybody. I like that. Because you live in a world of puny men and women that think they're something. You know, and you're subject to them here and there, or maybe all the time. You know. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, the holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering. Tony, barroom man, is going to be taking us through 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let me tell you, it's going to be talking about the world in the end times, and it's certainly not going to be talking about bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering towards one another. So we are different in a big way. In a big way. Because we are not for me. That is to say, well, you could be for me if you want. But, oh, that was good. You are not for you. I am not the me generation type person. not with this in my heart and mind. On the other hand, in the end times, men and women are going to be so into themselves and loving themselves so much, it's going to be very hard to deal with. And Paul gave an instruction on how to deal with them. He said, turn away from them. Turn away from such folks. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man might have a quarrel against it, and even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:14, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Or charity, but it's love. How much did Christ forgive us? He forgave us for everything. You know, I forget that where that places me in God. He forgave me of everything. And so I better think about what I really am. You know, for the wages of sin is death. And so I better think about what I really am, but then I have to think about who I am in Him. And I think that's been really stressed in this conference. Kingdom law says, forgive in order that you might be forgiven. Grace says, since you have been forgiven, now you forgive. That's interesting. I like that. Kingdom law says, forgive in order that you might be forgiven. Grace says, since you have been forgiven, now you are to forgive. Pardon me, I like that. Unless all seven characteristics are motivated by love, the love of God, there will be no gain. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and you be thankful. Be thankful. 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 Might be thankful. No matter how much you want to whine, be thankful. Be thankful. Seriously, I don't have to tell you these things, but I don't care anymore. I'm old enough, and I've been through enough things where I know I'm old enough where I can tell you things, and it doesn't matter what you think or do. That's great. It's great to get older. You know, when you're younger, you're like, oh, man, I hope they don't think this way about me, blah, 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 right? Am I wearing the right shirt? Who cares? Right? Who cares? You know, but the peace of God is what we really need. And I'm void of it sometimes. Too much. I'll admit that. The peace of God, because my wife and I deal with a constant barrage of things in the world, with business and the crazy world, and, you know, on and on and on and on. And, you know, that can just totally engulf your brain and everything. You got to get into the Word. You got to study the Word. You got to get comfort from the Word of God. And be thankful. Well, after what we heard in this conference, we better be thankful, or else I think we're brain dead. Well, that was pretty harsh. Sorry. We cannot truly enjoy the peace of God until we experience the peace with God. That's really good. I like that one too. Thanks, Roger. We're reconciled to God, and so we have peace with Him. How many people say, I'm going to hell? I've heard people say that. There are songs that say that. The highway to hell. You know, and they're smiling and laughing. But they're right. And they like it. But it's sad. We're on the highway to hell. Yeah, they're on the highway to death. And they think it's an burning eternity, which is, it's really sad. I mean, they could be turned around so quickly on belief, you know. The peace of God comes when you place your faith in Christ. Colossians 3:16. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Awesome. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Have you ever done this? Have you ever had this happen to you? Maybe sometimes. I can say it's happened. I've been here sometimes. And at least it's sometimes. I'm not like this all the time, unfortunately. You know, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And I don't know if I should say this, but how do you replace a thought with another thought? How do you replace an evil thought with the word of God? It works. It does. Because you can't stop your evil thoughts. I've been reading, you know, they just come and go. Oof. If your brain's anything like mine. And I think the evil one would have you dwell on those things. Evil thought comes in, whammo, you stop there. Is this part of me? I'm a son of God. This can't be part of me. You know, but you're stopped there. That's how I get it. How can that be part of me? I'm a son of God. That can't be. This tells me I'm a son of God. Dwell. Strong's 1774, to live in you makes its home in you. And to inhabit in our minds, the Word of God in our minds. The Word of God in our minds. It's important to memorize the Word of God in your calling, because when things you don't like come in your mind, you can bring up a verse of Scripture, and it's beautiful. You know, like, is there any Scripture that isn't? Even, you know, is there any line of Scripture that you don't want to come up in your mind? I just thought of this, right? No. Even if it's talking about a wicked guy, it's still truth, right? It's great. The Word of God is incredible. I mean, really, right? You have a word of God come up in your mind, it's still the Word of God. It's inspired by God the Holy Spirit. It's good. And see, I need to learn that. I always talk to me up here. I need to learn that. Word of God, dwell in me richly. I need to learn this personally. Richly, Strong's 41:46. Speak extreme and abundantly. Extreme and abundantly. Have the Word of God in you extremely and abundantly. You know, because this helps you fight that battle. Right? And this, you make a decision, right? You can either be obedient or you can be disobedient. Does disobedience mean you're going out and getting blasted and, you know, doing some crazy stuff? No. But disobedience might be that you're not concentrating on what makes you strong in the Lord. That's easy to do. It's impossible for the Word of God to dwell in the minds of believers without the Holy Spirit. I agree with that. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, how about this one? Do we do this? In word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Convicted. Mike is convicted. See, like I said, I don't care what you think. Because Mike is convicted in this. Do I do all things? Do I act and do all things and say, I do this in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus? No, I do not. But I should. Because what kind of person would that make me if I did? It's really awesome. But it's not natural to us. Giving thanks to God and to the Father by Him. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. We learned about submission. Wives, you're not any less equal than your husband to the Lord. In Him, in your calling, in your blessings in heavenly places. You just each have particular functions. The functions have to be taken care of each in your own particular manner, so that there's unity and there's order. That's it. And in that, it's great. And it should be. You know, and that's going to be, you're going to be attacked on that one. You know, maybe even through your own children at times, acting up. I won't go into that. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Okay, we're talking about anger here. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to get upset. Husbands, love your wives. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to get upset. Awesome, isn't it? Children, obey your parents in all things. Whoa. There's a lot of good young people out there, still. There's a lot of good young people. But then there's other young people that their parents, even at 2 years old, treat them like a god. And let them rant and rave and run around like mad little animals. It's sickening. It sickens my heart to see that. Because that little being has no idea what it's doing. It's just reacting to what the parents let them do. It's really sad. Because they need correction and order. The worst thing for parents to do is to let their children run without any order and correction. Because our own God says that He corrects us. Otherwise we would be bastards. That's in the Word of God, by the way. Obey your parents in all things. No one can learn to command who hasn't first learned to obey. Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger for fear that they might be discouraged. A lot of discouragement going on in this world with young people because of their parents. Provoke, Strong's 2042 means to stir up or irritate. Discourage, Strong's number 20, means to lose heart or to give up. Don't do that to your children. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. This could have work implications. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. There's a certain respect that you have to give to your company and to your employers. Unless they go over the boundaries of certain things. Just like the children, the slaves are to obey in all things. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That would help a lot of us with a lot of problems. If I'm doing all things to the Lord, it doesn't matter what people think about what I'm doing. I'm doing it unto the Lord. I'd love to live like that every day. I don't. But I do sometimes. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. It's important for you to notice that the name Christ is added to the word Lord in this verse. Colossians 3:25, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there's no respect of anybody. There's no respect of persons, as Wayne said. It doesn't matter if you're Queen Elizabeth, or if you're President Trump, or if you're a lady with, what was that little coin? A mite. The widow's mite. It doesn't matter if you're a lady that all you can afford is a widow's mite, or if you're a Queen of England that can afford billions. Isn't that interesting? Just in case some of the Colossians thought they had an inside track with God, Paul warns of that. With God, there is no respect of persons. Thank you very much. You're welcome.